Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Well, if you're glad to be in the Lord's house, give Him the praise today. Amen. It's good to see you. It's good to see all of you. Look at your neighbor and tell them something nice, like you like their hairdo or you like their jacket or whatever. If you have your Bibles, would you go to the book of Acts, please? Acts chapter 9. And as you are turning to Acts chapter 9, we want to welcome Mr. and Mrs. David Stutes. Mr. Stutes is running for police juror for this area. Mr. Stutes, you and your wife, would y'all just wave your hand? Thank you. And your son that you have, David, good to see you. I told him, I said, I'm very honored that you got up and got yourself dressed to come to church. He said, well, Pastor, we do this every Sunday. I said, yeah, I'm glad to hear that, but you don't always come here every Sunday. So you're showing up somewhere, but it may be the wrong place. No, I'm joking. I was just joking. And then Mr. and Mrs. Moore. Mr. and Mrs. Moore, they're also from the Sulphur area, and he's running for assessor. Mr. and Mrs. Moore, would you raise your hand, please? We're just delighted to have you. And the same sentiments. Thank you for getting dressed and coming and being here. I don't know if you show up every Sunday someplace, but if you don't, well, I'm going to say it like my daddy says it. Maybe we'll love you so many ways, you're bound to like one of them, right? It's great to be in the house of the Lord today, isn't it? It's good to see all of you. Thank you for being in God's house. I want to turn your attention to Acts chapter 9. We're going to begin with verse 1. And if you're with us, say amen. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then the Lord said to him, arise and go to a city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Verse 8. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. Now our bodies are here. We've taken the time to get ourselves ready, our children. So now we're here. Now bring our minds here. Bring our thoughts here. Help us to take just a deep breath this morning and to just take in the word of the Lord. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. I bless you. You can be seated. If Jesus would have been religious, he would have never opposed the Pharisees. If Jesus would have been a religious man, he would have hung out with the scribes, the lawyers, and the Sadducees. But I hate to bust y'all's bubble, but I'm going to tell you the Jesus that I read about in the New Testament, some of you are too holy to have him on your front row. Because the Jesus I read in this New Testament, it tells me very plainly that he hung out with tax collectors and sinners and prostitutes. One time in the scripture, it even mentioned that he and his disciples really liked to go to parties. And so they called he and his disciples wine bibbers and gluttons. Think about it. If Jesus would have been religious, he would have called his 12 disciples from the holiest of the Pharisees and the holiest of the Sadducees, but he didn't. He chose a tax collector. He chose Simon, who was a zealot, and you ought to do a little study on what being a zealot meant. Interesting study. He chose mainly fishermen who were, the Bible talks about them being ignorant and unlearned men. These were men that had not sat at the feet of Gamaliel. They had not studied at the Harvard of their day. They didn't have a master's in theology. They were just ignorant and unlearned men. If Jesus, brothers and sisters, would have been religious, he would have never gone to the cross. And here's why. Because he would have trusted that the 613 ordinances of Moses and circumcision and the law, he would have trusted in all of that, as well as the animal sacrifices, he would have trusted in all of that, but he didn't, because he was not religious. He didn't come to lead man into a religion. See, the Bible is not about religion. The Bible is about three things. It's about a king, a kingdom, and his children. So where did religion come in? Religion came in to try to satisfy the heart of man, because man longs for a relationship. But what he has invented to try to satisfy his inner hunger is religion. Brothers and sisters, Jesus was not a religious man. I just want you to think on it. See, if religion was sufficient, then why did Jesus call Saul out from being a Pharisee? In Acts chapter 9, the Lord sends a light from heaven. It's very bright. When Saul sees this light, it knocks him down to his knees. A voice comes out of heaven and says, "Saul, why are you persecuting me?" If Jesus was religious, he would have just let him do what he was doing. Amen. Because Saul thought that he was doing the right thing. But Jesus said, "Listen, buddy, what you're doing it against me." And he said, "Well, Lord, who are you?" He said, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting." And he calls them to be blind for 3 days. You know why? Because sometimes God's got to knock you down, speak to you, show you this great light to get you out of what you've been in, thinking you were right, and all along is not. See, religion can be a crossroads that holds you back from getting into the kingdom. Religion was holding Saul back from getting into the kingdom of God. You say, "Why do I say that?" Well, look at what Saul did in religion. He was ruling by fear. In other words, if you were going to follow Jesus, then he was going to rule you by fear and let you know that he was going to drag you out. stone you, kill you. And great fear came on the Christians because they had heard of this man named Saul. See, here's what religion does. Religion uses fear to control. I'm going to say it again, though I can tell you don't like it. Religion uses fear to control. It was the exact same thing that Saul was doing in his day. I'm going to use fear to control you. If you don't do it the religious way, then I'm going to stone you. I'm going to take you out. And brothers and sisters, I hate to tell you this, but religion is still using fear to control. Religion says, hey, our little group, we're going up in the sky while all of you other suckers go down to fry. You say, no, we don't say that. No, we don't say it that rudely. But here's what we do say. You better turn or you're going to burn. You better get right or you're going to get left. Because religion likes to control using fear. And you can't imagine how many messages growing up that I've heard on hell. I believe in a hell. I don't want to go there. That's hell is not good news. The good news is that Jesus came to bring us out so that we don't have to go there. Come on, somebody. That's the good news. Shout good news. Good news is this, that Christ has come to set you free. Can I get a witness? See, what Saul did was he used religion to control, and what Jesus did is just the opposite. I want him to put up on the screen, please, John 8 and verse 31. I just want to show something to you. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And then he goes on in this passage and he says this, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now in the NIV, that's the nearly inspired version, in case you didn't know. Just joking. If you look in the NIV, here's what it says. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But the King James Version says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You say, well, what's the big difference? Well, there is a difference. I'm going to show you the difference. If you're in jail, and some of your buddies come and bust you out, they set you free. You've been set free. But here's the bad news. If the law ever catches you, you're going to have to go back and do time for your crime. But you were set free. Do you agree? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So what's the difference? Here's the difference. Well, the difference is that God was the lawgiver. And when the lawgiver comes to you, or you come to the lawgiver, and the lawgiver says, look, I'm expunging your record, I'm pardoning your sentence, then you've been more than set free, you've been made free. Now you can go in peace. You don't have to keep looking over your shoulder, wondering if they're ever going to show up to take you back to what you've been set free from, because now you've been made free. See, the lawgiver is the only one that can make you free from the law. Jesus was, God was the lawgiver, and now Jesus is coming to the Jews, and he's saying, he that the Son is made free will be free indeed. Now, if they're Jews, brothers and sisters, stay with me. If they're Jews, they're already saved. You say, how are they already saved? Because as long as they obeyed the 613 ordinances of Moses, believed in circumcision, took their animals to the temple and had them sacrificed, then they were considered saved. Now, he's talking to Jews here, And he's saying, but the truth shall make you free. What did they need to be free from? How were they in sin? If they had done the 613 ordinances of Moses, took their animals to the temple, believed in circumcision, then how were they in bondage? What did they need to be made free from? Basically, what Jesus was saying is this. You think that you're free because you have religion. You obey and you do all of this. And that's been okay up to a point. But I'm ushering in grace and truth. And the truth that I'm going to show you is not going to have anything to do with your religious system. So you're bound to this religious system thinking that it sets you free when really Jesus says this, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. What is Jesus telling those Jews? That listen, really you think you're free, but you're bound in your sin by a religious system. But if you will invite me into your life, then I'll set you free from all of that. And if you go on and look in Galatians, you find out that Jesus took all 613 ordinances and circumcision and the law of Moses, and he nailed it to the cross. It was nailed to the cross, ladies and gentlemen. There is a difference between religion and the kingdom. Religion says you got to do all of this. Jesus said, I did all of that for you. I did it for you on the cross. Yes. Isn't that good stuff? See, flesh, here's what flesh likes. Flesh likes religion and it likes list. What does spirit like? Spirit likes grace and truth. I'm getting a few amens, but I'm getting more nasty looks than I am amens. See, religion likes list. And here's a little list. Maybe you can identify with it. You ready? Pray to prayer. Check. Wear long sleeves. Check. Attend a Sunday morning service. Check. Memorize Acts 2:38. Check. Wear a t-shirt that's got loving God, loving people. Check. Wear a little bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? Check. But actually, love, pursue, and enjoy Jesus more than anything else. Not so much. Not so much. I can go down my list and I can check my little list. But brothers and sisters, let me ask all of you sweet people a question. When is the last time you just sat down in stillness and quietness and just loved being in the presence of Almighty God? Here's what the Bible says. This is Romans 14 and 17. This is what it says. The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not eating and drinking. So if the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, then what is it? He tells us what it is. But it's righteousness. What does righteousness mean? It means to be in right standing with God. That's what it means. I'm in right standing with God. And then it goes on to say, it's joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. I know it's going to get quiet, but listen, I was up early this morning. If I told you how early, you probably wouldn't believe me. I was up very early this morning. And this is exactly what the Lord put in my spirit. He reminded me of something, and I'm going to share it with you. The reason why I'm going to bring this to you this morning is because what really is in my spirit is if we claim to have truth and we know Jesus and we've got all of this that we claim that we're supposed to have, then here's the big question. Where's our joy? Where's the joy in the church? I'm not being rude this morning. I'm going to just ask you a simple question. When is the last time somebody came to you and wanted to know, man, you smile so much. You seem to have so much joy. What is the reason for that? Man, every time I see you, you're singing or you're whistling or you're smiling or you're laughing. Man, if I asked you to raise your hand, some of you couldn't remember the last time that somebody walked up to you and said, man, why you smile all the time? Why do you have so much joy? Y'all know I'm telling you the truth. But that's what the kingdom is supposed to be about. Not eating and drinking, but righteousness. I'm in right standing with Him, knowing that I'm not a servant, I'm a son. There's nothing wrong with being a servant. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you got to be a servant. But here's the difference, brothers and sisters. It's one thing to serve out of obligation because I got to try to win the approval of God. And it's another thing to serve out of joy because I love Him. One thing to do it because I feel like I got to. It's other words, it's my duty instead of it's my delight. Can I talk to you for a few minutes? I'm just asking a simple question. Take an inventory this morning of yourself. Do you really have the joy of the Lord? Is the joy of the Lord your strength? Do you really have a peace in your life that surpasses your human knowledge and understanding? Brothers and sisters, you cannot live, hear me please, you cannot live in a broken world and remain unbroken. I get that. I understand that not every day is a cloud nine day. I understand that. But here's what I also know, is that when you're going through some of the roughest storms in your life, you can still have a peace about you that surpasses your human knowledge and understanding, that while the rest of the world would be drinking themselves into oblivion, you're still in your right mind, you're still carrying on, you can still hold down your job, you can still come to church, you can still praise God. Why? Because God is a peace that surpasses even your human knowledge. I'm just asking the question this morning, where is that? If the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, then where is it? If we don't have it, then we need to find it. And if you think you can find it in religion, I think you're mistaken. Because what religion is, Jesus looked at the lawyers and He told him this. He said, look, guys, you're asking your converts to take burdens on themselves that even you won't even lift a finger to do yourself. But then He slips over into Matthew and He says this, but take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. See, religion is all about control and fear and hell. And I believe in a hell, but I also believe in a heaven. I believe in rules, ladies and gentlemen. I don't have a problem with rules. We have to have rules to maintain order. I love God. I love the church. I love the Bible. I love His people. So do not please misconstrue what I'm saying. But I'm just wondering here, have we gotten more into religion than what we've gotten into the kingdom? Look, I promise you, we've got guests this morning, and I'm so glad you're here. Thank you guys for being here. But, you know, I got to say what's in my spirit. Some mornings, and I'm not being rude, but some mornings I come into church, and I want to look at someone and say, did somebody die? And nobody told me. And that's sad. I should never feel that way. But here's the way I feel. I feel like sometimes we come more out of obligation to check our list than what we come out of delight. More out of duty. Well, I got to go to church. Has it gotten that bad? I got to go to church. I got to do this and I got to do that. I'm just asking a question. When the kingdom is about joy, peace, righteousness, religion is a burden that I got to do this and I got to do that and I've got to do this and I got to do that. See, the difference between the kingdom and religion is that kingdom says you got to wait for your reward. In other words, you live 60 years, 80 years, 100 years and you sing, you know, just over in the glory land. Man, we're going to have a great time when we get to heaven. Man, won't heaven be great? And it's like, you know, we're just supposed to wait 60 or 80 years to get to heaven, and then all of a sudden we're going to have this great time. Thank you. Well, Jesus came upon the earth to show the kingdom. He didn't just sit around and say, you know what, I think I'll just wait till my time to go to the cross. I'll just wait. Then when it's my time to go to the cross, I'll go to the cross, and then as soon as that's over, I'm going to ascend back up into heaven. He didn't do that. What did he do? He went, and everywhere he went, he was showing a little glimpse of what the kingdom looked like. So he was healing the sick. He raised Lazarus from the grave. He had total dominion, brothers and sisters, over his own spirit. Was he tempted? Sure, he was tempted. Did he get sad? Yes, when he went to Lazarus' tomb, he wept. Did he suffer persecution? Sure, he did, from the religious folks. What blows my mind is that prophets had come like Isaiah, and great prophets were prophesying this Messiah that was to come. For 2,000 years, there was prophecies of this great Messiah that was coming. And guess what? He shows up, and the Pharisees can't even see him, and the Sadducees can't even recognize him because they don't look like, he doesn't look like, he doesn't fit into their religious mindsets. He's eating with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. How would y'all feel if y'all heard, hey, Pastor Wayne and Sister Janet, we saw him down at El Toucan with a hooker. You'd be like, I knew he was getting loose. I just knew he was getting liberal. I knew he was taking this church the wrong direction. Down there with a hooker. My God, have mercy. That's what I'm talking about. See, Jesus came to get into people's lives, not to partake of what they were doing. Can I tell you, last night, Janet and I, we were at a place. There was drinking. There was dancing. They were having a good time. Now you're wondering where I went, but I'm not going to tell you. See, that's your little religious mindset. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah, he told us the other Sunday he probably does some things that y'all would think is sin. That's probably what he was doing. He's probably. No, never took a drink, never got on their stage and danced. But I tell you what me and Janet were doing. We were sure working that crowd, trying to show the love of God. Yep. Yep. Had people come up and hug me, say, Brother Nealon, you don't know how much I love you. You don't know how much I love you. I know I love you too. And guess what? I didn't tell them this, but they know. I'm going to see them in church one Sunday. I'm going to see them. They're going to be here. You know why? Because I was willing to go where they are. Not say, y'all come here. See, Jesus never said, y'all come to the synagogue, y'all come see me now, you hear? Jesus went out into the marketplace. He went out to where the needs were. He didn't worry about Can I keep preaching? See, he didn't worry about leprosy getting off on him because what he had was so strong, what he had was going to get off on them. Well, that got three amens. That went over like a crocheted bathtub. Here's what I believe, and I've got to hurry. I believe the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their mouth and walk out the door and deny him by their life. See, it's people who want to wear the cross but don't want to live it. People who will wear a t-shirt loving God and loving people and a little bracelet that says, "What will Jesus do?" That's easy. Telling people, brothers and sisters, about Jesus is easier than living like him. Whew. Man, this is so good, I'm going to buy my own tape. In other words, see, there's two things about the Lord that you got to understand. There's two things. You ready? Two sides of the Lord. It was proclamation and demonstration. Stay with me. Now, proclamation is all about religion. We can get up and we proclaim. That's easy to tell people, don't do this, don't do that. And if you do that, this is where you're going. That's easy. Demonstration is where we're having a problem. And this is why, brothers and sisters, that people are not coming to our churches because we're real good at telling people what not to do. We're not so good at showing them what the kingdom looks like. See, proclamation is easy. That's the easy part. Demonstration is a little more difficult. What do you mean by that? Well, it's real easy to tell somebody what they shouldn't be doing, but why don't you walk into their home where their sick mother is and pray for their sick mother and see what God will do in their life? But you might be too busy for that. Or that home, in that home, they might be smoking and you don't want to walk out smelling like smoke. Now, I'm not trying to be rude. I'm just trying to talk about where we're living. Brothers and sisters, God got involved in people's lives to show them a little glimpse of heaven. See, this is what the kingdom is about. The kingdom is all about having dominion. See, Adam and Eve didn't lose a Bible in the garden. They didn't lose Christianity in the garden. It hadn't been invented yet. They didn't lose worship in the garden as we know it. They didn't have altars in the garden as we know it. They didn't even have animal sacrifices as we know it. They didn't have any of the trappings of religion as we know it. So what did they have? They had two things. God gave them two things. What did they give him? He gave them, in Genesis 1 and 26, he gave them dominion and he gave them a relationship. So when they sinned, what did they lose? They didn't lose religion. They didn't lose heaven because they'd never been there. They didn't lose a Bible because it hadn't been written. They didn't lose Christianity because it wasn't around. They didn't lose worship because they didn't have a hymn book. God forbid, how did they make it in the garden? Didn't have a hymn book. Woo! Didn't have a hymn book. Think about it. How did they make it? Well, they didn't lose any of that. What did they lose, brothers and sisters? They lost fellowship, a relationship with God, and they lost dominion. So why did Jesus come back? To restore religion? No. They didn't even know what religion was. Jesus came back to restore the dominion that we lost. What did we lose dominion over? We lost dominion over the earth. Now we don't have dominion. We know, well, We do if we have the Holy Spirit. But Jesus came to give us back dominion over ourselves. So you say, oh, the devil's my worst enemy. No, he's not. If you could kick the person who's the most responsible for your problems, you wouldn't be able to sit down for a week. Some of you will get that in a minute. In other words, you're your own worst enemy is what that meant. The devil's not, you are. You're the one who self-sabotages. You can blame it on the devil all you want to. The devil can't make you do it, and God won't make you do it. So now you're standing in the middle every day having to make a choice. Which way am I going? Am I going the devil's way or am I going God's way? Am I gonna surrender to this adventure that God wants to take me on? Or am I gonna be religious? Do I wanna show people the kingdom and have dominion over myself, over sin, over sickness, over disease, and over the works of the devil? Or do I just wanna check off my list and say I had my quiet time and I read my devotion today? Oh, there's a big difference, brothers and sisters, between religion and the kingdom. The kingdom will set you, make you free. It will make you free. Are you saying, Pastor, what is it going to make me free from? So that I can go hog wild and do whatever I want? Of course not. Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. That's not what I'm referring to, brothers and sisters. What I'm trying to get you to understand is this load of religion weights you down if you see it as an obligation. We, brothers and sisters, we should have come in here this morning rejoicing. Not that demons are subject to us, but that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're heirs and joint heirs to God. Woo! That ought to, man, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Come on, somebody. Let me ask you this and I'll wrap this up. How many of you have ever seen a bowl of fruit? How many ever walked and saw a bowl of fruit and you actually picked it up? And when you picked it up, you realized it's plastic. This is fake. This ain't real. It took me all of this time of yapping to get to what the Lord put in my spirit this morning very early. Sometimes when you look at that bowl of fruit, it looks so real that you can't even tell it's really not the real deal. And I need just a couple more minutes. But there's a story found in the Bible in Matthew chapter 21 and also Mark 11. It's about a fig tree. And I just don't have time to get into it, but this fig tree, if you'll just trust me, the Bible says that it was full of leaves. And when Jesus went to that fig tree and on further inspection, he started looking at it and it had a lot of green foliage, but it didn't have any figs. And then that's when he probably backed up and he cursed it. Doesn't mean that he said a curse word. It meant that he cursed it because it had the appearance of one thing. It had the appearance, brothers and sisters, of having figs. But on closer inspection, it didn't have anything. I could stay right here and preach 30 minutes because that's called religion. So the world looks at the church because the church says, we got truth. We got this. We got that. And then they get up close and all they see is just green leaves. But no figs. Where's the signs, the miracles, the wonders? Where's life transformation? See, listen to me, folks. I love you, but I'm not personally interested in sin management. I know it takes time for people to get to where they need to go. I get that. But I'm not interested in sin management. I'm not interested in just some green fig leaves. Where's the figs? Where's the proof of the kingdom in our lives? When the world gets up close and they peek inside the church, are they going to get more than just walking down an aisle and, and signing a card and shaking a preacher's hand. And I'm okay with that. That's what you want to do. That's fine. But really what that's called is membership. That's called membership. You don't see membership in the New Testament. It's called citizenship. So you don't sign anything to become a member of the church. You got to be born into it. Mm-mm. Are y'all with me? See, it means something to be a citizen of the United States, not a member, a citizen of the United States. You have certain rights and privileges as a citizen of the United States. Sign a card, shake a hand. It doesn't bother me. I don't care about that. That's fine if that's what you want to do. You're just becoming a member. But there's no membership in heaven. This is why God's not going to check and see if you got a card, say Pentecostal, to get you into heaven. Don't, it's not going to happen, brothers and sisters. All religion does is separate. It divides us. And what we get to looking at, we don't look at the 97% that we agree on. We look at the 3% that we don't agree on because that goes against our religion. But listen, here's the deal. You don't get membership into heaven. You get citizenship. How do I get citizenship? I got to be born into the kingdom. How am I born into the kingdom? Jesus tells me, unless I'm born again of water and of spirit, I can't even enter the kingdom of God. Jesus is not going to ask you, were you Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, or Pentecostal? He's going to ask you, were you born again? What did you come up here? Why should I let you in here? Because I paid tithes and I taught Sunday school and I was faithful every Sunday. Wrong answer. Why should I let you in here? Because I was so good and I wore my sleeves long. Wrong answer. Why should I let you in here? You better answer it right. Because of what you did for me at Calvary. That's why you ought to let me in. Ha ha. Enter in. You got it. Ha. Come on, somebody. Clap your hands and give God some praise in this house. Everybody, if you would, stand to your feet, please. Dear Lord, have mercy. Woo. So with great expectation, Cherie, only you can do this. Come here. I'm going to pick on you, girl. This is going to be so funny. Raise your arms. I'm picking for figs. Raise them. Come on, get them up there. I can do this only with three. Woo. All I see is a bunch of green leaves. You watered them. You watered the leaves. I ain't worried about the leaves. I want the figs. So here's what happens. You know, we love you. So here's what happens. Jesus comes and inspects the fig tree, right? He inspects it. And he's greatly disappointed because what it looked like, it didn't produce. What it looked like it should have had wasn't there. Man, I wish I had time, but I don't. Y'all, it's not ironic. I wish I could show y'all this. It's not ironic, but check this out real quick. This is Mark 11. So Jesus has a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Y'all, please stay with me. So Jesus is on a donkey, and they're putting their clothes on the ground, and they cut off palm trees, and they're waving them, and they're saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. That's Mark 11, right? Now, check this out. Sandwiched right there in between that in Mark 11 and 17 is this parable of the fig tree. And then right after that is the cleansing of the temple. It's not ironic. It's not coincidence that he put it there. Because what he was doing was, is he was saying, look, all of this stuff that y'all are doing, all of this Hosanna and throwing your clothes on the floor and waving palm branches, it's all just a big show. It's all it is. It's just a big, big show. And then he goes into the temple and then he sees the hustle and the bustle and the exchange. And he's ticked off because here again he comes to the temple expecting prayer warriors. My house shall be called a house of prayer, but it's a lot easier to sell a turtle dove than it is to get down and pray for an hour. It's a lot easier, brothers and sisters, to have long sleeves than it is to have the Spirit of the Lord to say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the works of the devil. I take authority over sin and sickness and disease in your life. It's not ironic. It's not ironic, y'all, that it's exactly where it is, because Jesus comes into Jerusalem and it's all for show. And then he goes into the temple and it's all for show. And cursing this fig tree has some symbolism to his people. He said, this fig tree is all show, but no substance. And I can't stand it. That's religion. Hey, is it crazy? Is it crazy in Genesis that when relationship dropped between Adam and Eve, they went and got fig leaves? Huh. Yeah. Is that ironic that they took fig leaves to try to cover themselves up? That's just like religion. Let me cover myself up. Jesus said, look, I'm going to tell you rascals something. You take a convert and you'll make them the twofold child of hell. You're like whitewashed sepulchers. In other words, tombs. You look good, boys, but you got no power. Sleeves are long, no kingdom mentality. It's check the list. It's not coming into church saying, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. It's, well, somebody looked at me wrong yesterday. God have mercy on us. Somebody in the church didn't shake my hand. Are you serious? I got to stop. Not because I want to, but because I know religion. Religion says, get me here on time and get me out of it. Yeah. You know, it blows my mind, y'all. It seems like some people run into church ready to run out. Whew, run in so I can get my three songs, get my little word, and then I'm out of here. What about just fellowshipping with the Lord? Have you ever been with somebody? Let me ask you this question, and I'm going to go. I'm going to shut up. Have you ever been with somebody, and you were just with them, and you looked up, and an hour and a half had passed, and you're like, wow, where did time go? You know, all you were doing was fellowshipping. But it amazes me, as soon as church starts at 10, y'all are looking at your watch. Get me out of here by 11. When this is the kingdom and there's nothing greater than him. And he says in Matthew 6:33, seek first. Oh, this is going to aggravate some people. But here it goes. Don't seek sports first. Don't seek shopping first. Don't you know, seek riding in your convertible Corvette first. Don't even seek money first. Seek what? First the what? Kingdom. It didn't say religion. Right. Seek first the what? Kingdom. The kingdom. And then what will happen? All these things shall be added unto you. I just want you to, if you would, I just want you to bow your head and close your eyes. I want you to do an inspection. I want you to take inventory right now. When people see you, do they see religion or do they see the kingdom? When people see you, do they see a bunch of green fig leaves or do they see figs? When people see you, do they see someone that's just a good person, but no real joy, no real peace, just good person? Where are the fruit of the Spirit? What is the fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Do they see that? Or do you fly off the handle like every other person on your job? When you go, do you just wrap people up regardless of their race, regardless of how much they make or how little they make? Because you just love people, because that's the kingdom. Or is it just us four and no more? Here's what I know, brothers and sisters. According to statistics, 94% of all religions, lump them all in, 94% of all religions are declining or plateauing. According to statistics, 65 churches have closed their doors in America this week. It's not rocket science. Why? Somebody's not producing. Religion is just fig leaves. There's no life, no joy, no peace. And the world peers inside the doors and don't see anything that attracts them. Because religion don't have any more than a lot of what the world has. I'm just here saying in love, something's got to change. And it's got to start with us. It's got to start with us. You've been a great audience. Mr. and Mrs. Stutes, thank you for being here. Mr. and Mrs. Moore, thank you for being here. It's an honor to have you, privilege to have you. Appreciate you being here. But look, if this is going to freak you out, don't do it. But if you know the person well enough and you can take them by the hand or put your hand on their shoulder, I want you to do that. And they're going to sing, and I just want us to pray for one another. We need to do a serious inspection. We need to ask ourselves, am I just religious? Am I about the kingdom? Are you so worried about getting out right now that you're just waiting for me to say dismiss? That's religion.
That today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.